Welcome, welcome to the new episode of Let Me Take You Higher. This episode is entitled A Life Worth Saving, The Unseen Battles of Suicide Prevention. In this compelling episode of Let Me Take You Higher, Mr. Villain and co-host Gigi Luigi tackle one of the most crucial and heart-wrenching topics of our time, suicide prevention. With wit, empathy, and insight, we explore the hidden struggles behind suicidal thoughts, the alarming statistics that highlight the severity of the crisis, and the proactive steps we can take to save lives. This episode dives deep into the proactive steps we can take to save lives of people who are dealing with the most adverse effects of suicidal thoughts. This episode dives deep into the mental health landscape, offering resources, expert opinions, and personal stories that shed light on the importance of awareness, support, and timely intervention. I'm going to turn it over to my host, Gigi Luigi. Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a heavy topic to cover. Right. I mean, like, shoot, I just found a statistic that was kind of crazy. In 2022 alone, 1.6 million suicide attempts.
Yeah. It's crazy, throughout the states. Man. And they range from all sorts of things. Like, if you guys listened to our previous episode about the burn pits, I was speaking to Mr. M, and he was letting us know that veterans have a very high rate of suicidal thoughts and suicidal inclination. So this is a topic that has never been so prevalent in today's society as it is today. And what we're finding is roughly 75% of adult males have tried or thought about suicide. So it's a horrible statistic. And we want to let you know before we start our program and really get into the mix of it, that there are things you can do and are people you can talk to that can kind of let you know that it's not the way to go. Like, this is something that is so paramount and detriment to our to today's society. So before we really kick this off, we're going to talk as much as we can about it, find solutions to these kinds of things. I mean, when I was younger, I mean, unfortunately, I did have those thoughts as well. And I know for a fact, it feels like there's a force that's taken a hold of you. And it's just so much. It's like heavy earth, an elephant sitting on your chest, just despair. So let's get into it and talk about what we can do to solve this issue, or at least bring light on it. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, it's so easy nowadays to feel as if you're alone, especially when you're going through so much in life with, like, your career, relationships, balancing your friends. And with all of that, you still feel alone.
Yeah, and that's And that's, and you're right, Gigi. The thing is I guess I want to know, and for me, I knew what was my situation. Have you ever had thoughts like that throughout the course of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sitting here with like pride on my, I thought about it. But it creeps in. It's intrusive thoughts. It's easy to get overwhelmed, to feel alone, especially as a guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, 68.5% of suicides in 2022 were male.
Yeah.
So,
and and that's an interesting topic. I heard somewhere it was 75%, but thank goodness it's a little bit lower.
Ooh, this is 2022.
What do you think it is? Like, what's causing this?
It's a lot of things. I feel like it could be a mixture of, like, you have a lot of motivational speakers, and they'll talk about the grind and hustle and everything.
Yeah.
And you put that on yourself, but you don't do the, like, recovery aspect.
Right.
So you grind, okay. you grind, and then you burn yourself out, and then it just leads down this, like, pit. At least that's kind of, like, where I was. I just was, like, in this loop of, like, I'm doing my best, but I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah. No, and I see that. And for me, and I always want to be 100% with our audience. When I was younger, I grew up in a single mother household. You know, my mom was having a child from my biological father. Of course, he wasn't there. He was in a penitentiary. And I felt like I was having to do a lot of work that a grown man should have to do at 10 years old. When my brother was born, I'm the one that helped deliver him with the doctor, and I had to raise my brother for like 9 years. Not saying I didn't want to do that, but it was a lot. Did it make me the person that I am today? Yes. Did I try to end my life when I was 10 years old? Yes. But it had nothing to do with that situation, but it had more to do with my sexuality and how I perceived people perceived me and my family. But whatever it is that brings you to that point, it's always important to do retrospective and to get those thoughts put out into the open so that you can get the support you need from friends and family. How did you deal with it, Luigi, when those thoughts kind of creeped up on you and the bright clouds turned kind of gray?
So, a few things. So, like, younger, before I went into the military, and I always wanted to serve. I always wanted to do something more and be bigger than just myself.
Right.
My upbringing wasn't the best. And this is going to sound kind of funny or stupid, but Lieutenant Dan watching Forrest Gump as a kid, I got the idea that I was like, you know what? Instead of suicide, why don't I just kind of like put myself in combat, you know, and if it happens, I go out as a hero.
Wow.
And it was one of the stronger things that influenced me to join. When I first was recruited, my recruiter was like, you shouldn't go infantry because your ASVAB scores show that you have potential in another field. When you get out, you'll be making a lot of money. And I was like, it wasn't about the money.
It really isn't, man. It really isn't. Yeah.
But then during my high times, when my mental health is strong, I caught myself saying to a lot of people, like, you'll never catch me doing something like that because I'm too stubborn. And when I'm at my lowest, when I'm contemplating it, I look back and I remember my stance on that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like helps me, like, it brings me back from going towards the edge.
Yeah. And that's key, man. I think a lot of people, and look, I went through an episode. I'll say in 2012, you know, so many years after the first episode, where I actually had PTSD. I used to be like a bodybuilder, and I don't know how it happened, I OD'd on pre-workout formula, and my heart was racing through my neck. I kept passing out and fainting. All that kind of stuff happened, and it made me super depressed for years. And at parts and times, I couldn't even recognize my own face in the mirror. Like, I didn't even know who I was. I felt like I wasn't myself, and I didn't even know who was in my body. Like, it's a crazy feeling that I can establish that most people who are going through this feel like it doesn't really matter because it's not me. The person I'm looking at isn't even me. So who would be committing suicide? It wouldn't really be me. And those are the kinds of questions that jumble in your head. And like I tell people, you're not alone. We've been there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have done this and have been there. So if you reach out and gather that support, there are so many people that can help you. But you can't take a situation that's temporary and turn it into a permanent solution. And I always say that because it's so key for what people are dealing with today, especially the children, the kids. I see so many kids that are thinking that suicide's not just cool, it's not, but they use that as a thing to do because they see everybody else doing it. And there's no one there who are helping these kids and supporting these children. I mean, what do you think about the children, Luigi, that are faced with this? And if you guys look at the statistics, guys, kids below the ages of 18 are killing themselves, and I hate to say the word, committing suicide at an abnormally high rate, and there's got to be a fix.
So, I mean, there's so much that can go into that. Like, yeah. For instance, like, I believe that the current food that we eat has a big part in how we, like, okay. You know, handle that kind of stuff. It definitely has a effect on how we process trauma.
Okay.
And things like that. I mean, like, look at the, what is it, that red 40-something color code?
That guy 40, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, from what I've been seeing, it's like one of the leading causes of ADHD in children. So it's affecting the brain.
And that's a good thing you brought up, because ADHD and autism was never this profound as I was growing up. And I'm a kid of, I was born in 1979, guys. So from what we understood, it may have changed names, but autism, ADHD, all those things are an emergence that just happened within the last 20 years. It wasn't around that much when I was growing up. So, but they know that chemicals change the hormones in your brain. They deter the serotonin levels. There's a lot of things that happen in your oblongata, if I'm saying it right. But there's a lot of things that happen that change doing what we process. Like eating processed foods is huge in this. If you go to Europe, and I'm not sure how many of you went to Europe, they don't have stuff like what we have in America. There is no red 40. There is no green 11 or whatever the case may be. All these things have been outlawed, but in the United States of America, and we ask the question, why is that? What do you think is going on with that, Luke?
I don't know, because like I also came across this thing, and again, I'm not like a tinfoil hat kind of guy, but like it's a thing. They make Fruit Loops and like certain types of foods that have that red 40 whatever compound thing. They make it in America and they sell to Americans. Yes. And then they make the same product without it and sell it overseas.
Right. And if you look at Canada, I would even say Mexico, Europe, the European Union, they don't eat the foods that we eat. And they live for like 85, almost 90 years. And it just gives
portions.
You thoughts. Oh, yeah. And they don't have the kind of mental illness that we have that's so prevalent in America. I mean, look at the gun violence. All these things are things that I believe, and I think that Louis DiGigi would agree with, are things that we consume, processed foods, chemicals like GMOs, stuff we know is not good for our bodies. We consume them on a very high rate here in America. Everywhere else you go, it's not a thing. I mean, what do you think is a good fix to get our kids, man? Get them back on the right track and these suicidal thoughts, you know, out of their heads.
Yeah, honestly, man, I think it's more like family structure.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the family structure in America has kind of like decayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, this is a blanket statement, but a lot of people are raising their kids on tablets. You know, I'm going to go work. It's just easier because like there's things that have to be done. I can't handle entertaining a child at the same time.
Right.
But it has some drawbacks. Like, you know, you're feeding the kid not as, you know, well, you know, you're spending time with them, hearing about their problems, connecting with them.
Right.
So, like, the family structure, even in with violence.
Yeah.
Or no, violence.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Because when you were growing up, okay, so from when you were growing up and from when I were growing up, it's about a 10-year span or whatever the case may be. But when I grew up, I mean, I didn't always see my parents around, and that's fine. You know, I was raised on cartoons and PBS and all those different things. But as the generations have changed, the millennials, I would tell you, millennials were raised without parents, and so were, you know, Gen Xers. We just handled it a little bit different. The millennials, I believe, just overtook them a lot. And now we have the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas. And the Gen Zs and Gen Alphas, they really need parental guidance. And parents and the grandparents, all these different kinds of structures we have in the familial life of American civilization are the ones that help raise children. It takes a community to raise a child, you know, and that's so key.
And that's a great point that you bring up, the community. When I was a kid, I remember going outside, you know, running around the neighborhood, who was available, you grabbed them, played some games, you know, got out, got dirty, got in trouble, you know, but these are key aspects for children to, like, help them develop, you know, like problem solving skills, like risk management. But when you kind of sit them in front of a tablet and they're just mesmerized by the graphics and there's not really much input. I mean, they might learn how to use a tablet and like mathematics and like certain things like that. Mm-hmm. But social skills, I feel like social skills is what's really going to help this suicide prevention.
So social skills are so key. I remember when I was growing up, that you had to be home before the streetlights came on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your parents didn't really know what you were doing. You were just out there having a blast on your bike or your 4x4 big wheeler or whatever you had. And it took a community to raise every child. Yeah. So what would happen would be you'd go to your best friend's house. They'd have dinner for you. There'd be a family atmosphere. It was like you were raised by 7 or 8 different families, and you had love and you felt the support. Like, you didn't always go to your mom and your dad. You went to your best friend's mom and dad, and then vice versa. And I believe that we lost that as a nation.
No, we definitely lost that. When I was a kid, crazy enough, my dad left. And, you know, we're good now. Like, you know, I understand his situation, but it didn't really help when I was a kid. But what did help was the fact that I had my neighbor John, I had, you know, my best friend Ryan's dad, Paul. He was basically my dad. And then, like, you know, the additional grandparents from around the neighborhood, you know, it's just there's so much influence and guidance there still, even without my father.
Yeah. And that's a great point you bring up because, and you know, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm African-American, so we're very, very family-oriented, like... Yeah, right. And if you're Hispanic, you know that. Even Caucasians, white people know that too. You would go certain places and do certain things, although they're different culturally, but it was always about bringing the family together for like monumental things, graduations, ceremonies, freaking Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner. And you'd have your grandparents there and they would right the wrong, but they would always be cool with you. They give you your candies, their old candies they had in their drawers, those little red little strawberry candies, whatever, or those Werther's Delights, whatever. But your grandparents always took the load off your parents, and they helped guide you and raise you. And I think today, we don't have grandparents like that anymore. Like the social structure and construct of what it is to be an American is gone. Like you don't. The grandparents of the old days used to bind the family together for specific holidays, specific outings and events.
Grandma's house with bass.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, did you have that, Luigi, growing up? Did you have a good familiar structure when it was the grandparents
doing anything? Oh, yeah. So a little different for me.
Yeah.
But more on the, like, my grandparents raised me.
Yeah.
Like, little story. When I was in boot camp, Red Cross Blue Shield, sorry, whatever.
Right.
They reached out to my my battalion and let them know that my grandfather was dying. and because they recognized him more as a father figure, I was able to leave boot camp, visit him for his funeral, and then come back, and I never missed training. I went right back to my platoon, graduated at the same time I was going to anyway, and like, he was more of a dad than anything. You know what I mean?
Right. Sorry about your loss, my friend. I didn't really know that. And you're right. My granddad pretty much raised me to be a hard worker. I mean, he's 1930s, 1929, the recession era, the very first Great Recession, Depression, or whatever you want to call it. But he instilled in me values like work ethic, knowledge, you know, you break your back. I mean, that's how he was with me. And my grandmother was more of, hey, you got to be emotional, take care of people, you know, don't show just apathy, show empathy. And today's children, I don't believe they have that. Like, the grandmothers are 40 years old. Hell, I'm 45. I don't feel like a grandparent. So I can understand why the children are going off and doing just whatever. And they're experiencing life a lot different than our generations did, which has a huge effect on their mental structure. And gosh, I mean, if we think about it, that's the issue. People aren't taking care of everybody's kids anymore. They're just focused on their own. And then sometimes they're not even focused on that.
No, honestly. I mean, I can't tell you how many kids that I know that, like, yeah, their parents loved them. And I'm not going to take that away. But their solution to things was kind of like, there's definitely a better way to handle that. You shouldn't just give your kid your credit card and be like, buy what you want, entertain yourself.
Right.
But that's what a lot of people go towards because they're like, I'm working so hard so I can provide, give my kid a good life, give him what he wants.
Right.
But then you lose the quality time, the foundation.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's true. And foundations are like structures. I mean, a great foundation is built on what? Communication, love, trust, and honesty. That's the four pillars. But if we're not teaching today's youth about how to do anything more than get on TikTok or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram, who is teaching our children self-respect, self-worth, dedication? I mean, are we going to leave our children out to the wolves? Are we going to draw them back in and teach them about societal norms and just how to be civil? Just over the last 10 years, and we'll do an episode about this, guys, but just over the last 10 years, gun violence has skyrocketed through the roof. And all we have is a whole bunch of bloated politicians talking about, I'm going to send you our prayers, and I'm gonna have you in my thoughts. No. We have to take
update action. My Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We got to take action and save our youth from these, and I wouldn't say deplorables if I didn't have to, but these deplorable structures that we've created so that we don't have to teach our youth how to be civil. I mean, that's part of it. I've seen more 16 and 17-year-olds shooting up parks and shooting up theaters and shooting up schools. You never saw that in the 80s and the 90s, man. What is going on?
Honestly, man, it could be another thing. Like, it could be social media.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of influencers flexing, you know, like, oh, look how great my life is. But you're only seeing the highlight reel.
Yes.
You don't see the depression behind it. You don't see the things that go that impact that person. So you see it and you're like, wow, like, especially kids. You're like, wow, like, my parents aren't giving me what this kid's parents are giving him.
Right.
And you compare yourself to that, and it's not fair.
No, it's
not
fair.
To your parents, it's not fair to you.
Absolutely. And that is such a great point that you make there, Gigi. It's the fact that kids have nowhere to go. They're still kids. They still want to know. They still want to learn. They still want that support. But who is giving our children that support? Most definitely, and I hate to say it, it's not the parents of today who are 15, 16, 17-year-old parents. It's the people who want to show all the, you know, I got my grills in, I got my rings on, I got these pimps, I'm pimping these hoes. And no, man, we got to take charge and bring our youth back. Bring our youth back to when we as a community taught our youth right from wrong. And we taught them that, you know, You can have that if you work hard. You're just not going to be given it. And that's okay. Yeah. It's okay to work for what you get. You know what I'm saying?
Makes it so much worth it, man. Makes it the feeling.
Yes.
It's so much more stronger.
It makes you a better survivor. Mm-hmm. You get that struggle in. And it's okay to not always win. Whoever talked to children and told them they were always going to win? They were going to be destined to ride in yachts and have mansions and all these people just praising their name without earning anything. That's not the way it goes. And that alone will give you a mental illness if you let it infect you. So I believe our children need to be raised and reared by the community. It takes a community. It's called agape. It's an old African term, but it takes a community to raise a child with love. If we don't have that in America, what's the future going to look like? You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, we kind of see where we're headed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know.
It's not going to get any better if we don't make any changes. Yeah. I mean, I remember when you get in trouble, you know, doing something in the neighborhood or wherever, and someone who knew your parents caught you, they're going to take you home.
Oh, yeah.
Hold you accountable and put you in front of your parents and be like, this is what I call them doing.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I think the parents side with the kids.
Yeah. Don't touch my child. My child.
How dare you tell him what to do?
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. This stuff, like when I was a kid, I mean, I went to a Catholic school for a little bit and the nuns would get that big ass board out with the holes in it and they spank your ass. And I would be in my head like, oh, once my mom finds out you hit me. And guess what? When my mom found out, she said, hit him again.
Yeah.
Make it work. I mean,
mama hit me.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that abuse. Now, look, there's two types of rearing children. I'm not saying abuse your children. I'm telling you, allow people to help you support your children and help you raise your children. Yeah. We don't advocate abuse, but.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. But,
and I'm not saying I advocate. I'm just saying, like, that's just how it was in my day. Like, I got the wooden spoon from grandma.
Bro, I mean, my grandma did the wooden spoon, too. And we had those big-ass wooden spoons. But I tell you.
She made spaghetti all day.
I was never in a gang. I never sold drugs. I never did anything. Right. I mean, I never did anything crazy. Because I
You know why? Because I thought of the spoon.
Yeah. I was like, that spoon's going to fuck shit up. But look, guys, and you know, all kidding aside, suicide is a thing. And for some reason, it's gaining traction in American culture. People think it's fun. It's cool. They don't understand that once you do it, you don't come back. That's a done deal for you. It's over. It's game over. So as a conclusion to what we're talking about today with suicide prevention, I kind of want to go through some of the things we can do as a society and a community, because, guys, we're all human. We just come from different cultures and exchanges. But we all have the ability to change things for others who don't know any better if we work together. We're all working towards the same thing. So one of the most interesting things that you can do, and I think that you would understand and agree with me, Luigi, is community rearing of children, and keep your kids off the internet so much. It's crazy how many like 6, 8, 12, 14 year olds are on YouTube and TikTok. That's insane.
Oh, yeah. As influencers.
Yes. What is that?
I knew my, one of my like exes, her brother, he was like younger. There's like a huge age gap. He would watch YouTube with like these kids who would like rate soccer shoes or gloves or something like that. And they were around his age. And he would get these ideas in his head where like, he was like, his parents should be providing the same thing.
No, it's, I mean, yeah. And that's the sad part. You're not missing out, guys. Like Luigi said, most of these things that are happening on these social media platforms are not real. It's a disguise from somebody else's innermost depth of pitifulness and patheticness that they have to share fake posts about things that they only wish they could really be doing. A lot of these posts aren't even real. These, especially now with the advent of AI, which is another topic we'll be talking about later on in the season. But guys, we have to figure out a way to pull our kids back and let them know there's nothing wrong with hard work. And yeah, life is stressful, but it's stressful for everybody. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's a way to deal with your stress and gain support that'll make you a better person in the end. And there's no quick road. There's no quick road.
I think accepting that, and then that first allows you to make that first couple of steps.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to cite statistics. Like, you were talking about the military before. It was 22 a day. At least when I was getting out, it was 22. It might have gone up.
Oh, sure did.
Yeah, but knowing the numbers isn't enough. As an individual, you have to know that, like, there are support systems out there. We used to say, hey, check up on your boys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, your boys should be reaching out. Like, you're not alone. I invite anybody that I know to reach out to me, and I'll give you the time, 100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like knowing that you're not alone and it's okay to be vulnerable.
Yes.
That is what we need to be teaching people.
Yeah. It doesn't make you less of a man, woman, anything that of the sort to reach out for support. If you feel like you need it, there are people that are there that can help you, and there are people there that want to help you. A lot of people have a lot of empathy for people who are struggling. If you just ask for it, because no one's going to know how you're feeling if you don't say something and you don't speak up about it.
Yeah, so, exactly, man. Like, how am I supposed to know there's an issue unless you, like, come to me? It's really hard to be like, find that suit, that post about, like, so-and-so killed themselves. Yeah. And it's like, damn, like, I was thinking about them the other day. I just was busy. I didn't reach out to them. And that's not,
you don't want
my fault. And that's not something that anyone should put down on themselves.
And what would you do if you thought about it? Like, there were times where I could have reached out to that person and took them fishing or took them to a movie, had that talk with them. Like, you know, life is hard sometimes, but it's not always hard. In every darkness, there's always going to be light. You have to fight for the light. And I think that's very key and very important, especially when it comes to suicide prevention. And at the end of our show, we're going to talk to you about places that you can go to and reach out to that can help you and support you in this.
Yeah, and it's very important that you could, like, everyone knows those tools. No matter what, you're not alone.
You're not. You're really not. And as we wrap up this critical discussion on suicide prevention, it's essential to remember that every life is worth saving. The battles fought in minds of those who struggle with suicidal thoughts are often unseen, but they are very real. By staying vigilant, offering support, and fostering a culture of understanding, we can help turn the tide against this devastating crisis that's kind of enveloped and taken over in America and globally as well. Whether you're reaching out to a loved one or making use of the resources we've highlighted today, know that your actions can make a difference. The road to prevention, guys, is paved with awareness, compassion, and the courage to ask the tough questions. So as you go about your day, carry with you the message that Gigi and I went over today, that no one has to fight these battles alone. Let's be light, the lifeline that someone may desperately need. So stay safe, stay connected, and remember, every step we take towards prevention is a step towards saving a life. For me, Mr. Villain, and my co-host, Gigi Luigi, we want to make sure that you guys understand that there's always somebody out there to help. Thank you for listening on today's podcast, and we wish the very best of all of you.
Hey there, Hollywood enthusiasts. This is Kay Nicola, and welcome to the Hollywood Minute on Let Me Take You Higher, where we dive into everything Tinseltown, from the latest blockbuster hits to the juiciest celebrity gossip. I've got you covered. So let's get started. First up, let's talk about the box office this weekend, the highly anticipated sci-fi thriller Galactic Odyssey. Shattered records grossing over $200 million worldwide, directed by the visionary Ava Martinez, this film is a visual feast you won't want to miss. Have you seen it yet? Let me know your thoughts. In celebrity news, the ever-glamorous Emma Stone was spotted at the Venice Film Festival, turning heads in a stunning vintage Dior gown. She's there to promote her latest film, Eternal Echoes, which is already generating Oscar buzz. Emma never fails to impress, now does she? And speaking of awards, the Emmy nominations are out, and it's a fierce competition this year. The Crown and Ted Lasso are leading the pack with multiple nods. Who do you think will take home the gold? My money's on Ted Lasso for Best Comedy Series. It's just a feel-good show we all need right now. Now let's dive into some Hollywood scandals. This week, the entertainment world was high-rocked by the news of high-profile divorce. Power couple Alex and Jamie Taylor. They announced their split after 15 years of marriage, citing irreconcilable differences. The rumor mill is buzzing with speculation about what went wrong. Stay tuned as more details emerge. In another shocking twist, actor Liam Carter was arrested on charges of tax evasion. Authorities claim he owes millions in unpaid taxes. Carter's legal team is getting up for a fierce battle in court. This scandal is sure to keep the tabloids busy for weeks. Lastly, let's not forget the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This week, the legendary Denzel Washington received his star. And it was a star-studded event. His contributions to cinema are truly amazing. Like, and it's about time he got his recognition. And that's all for today's Hollywood Minute. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground. This is Kay Nicola signing off. Stay fabulous, everyone.
Before we sign off, we want to take a moment to remind everyone listening that if you or someone that you know is struggling with suicidal thoughts, there is help available. You are not alone, and there are resources designed to support you through these tough times. If you're in the U.S., you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. It's available 24/7, offering confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources for you or your loved ones. Prefer to text? You can connect with a trained crisis counselor through the crisis text line by texting HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to 741741. If you're outside the U.S., organizations like Befrienders Worldwide and the International Association for Suicide Prevention have resources in many countries. A quick online search can help you find local hotlines and support groups wherever you are. Remember, reaching out is a sign of strength. It's okay to ask for help, and there's no shame in needing support. We encourage you to take that step, whether it's calling a hotline, talking to a friend, or joining a support group. You can even email the show at letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. Your life is worth saving, and there are people ready to help you through this. Thank you for listening, and take care of yourselves and each other. Until next time, this is Let Me Take You Higher, where every conversation is a step towards a better tomorrow. I'm Mr. Villain, signing off. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests, and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
life storms rage, skies grow dim. We gather the shards, piece by piece within. Through tears and trials, we find our might. Let me take you higher toward the light. Let me take you higher beyond the pain. Where broken dreams mend and hope remains. We'll rise from ashes like a phoenix bold. In the symphony of resilience, our stories unfold. When life storms rage and skies grow dim, we gather the shards piece by piece within. Through tears and trials we find our might. Let me take you higher toward the light. Let me take you higher beyond the pain. Where broken dreams mend and hope remains. We'll rise from ashes like a phoenix bold. In the symphony of resilience, our stories unfold.